Today on Real Life Radio.
Since the day of Pentecost, the church has never ceased to exist. It has not ceased to exist now, and it will not cease to exist until Christ returns. Did you know that? You got to believe that. You got to understand that. Based upon what? Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, A Mega Warning, Part 2. You know, our series, The Gospel of Luke, is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 13, we'll consider what the gospel of salvation truly means. You see, this isn't a teaching about a healthy and happy church growth situation. Rather, it's a serious warning of the church's decreasing influence. What the world calls Christianity doesn't look like anything Jesus would approve of. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that we need to ask ourselves whether we know Jesus, and more importantly, does Jesus know us? For the true Christ follower, it's not about keeping up with appearances. Rather, it takes a special kind of effort on our part to keep ourselves ever closer to the Lord. Hey, before we get into today's message, we're very excited to announce that we are launching a streaming service. It's called the Real Life Network. It's like Netflix or Hulu, but it's based on Christian and conservative content. It's totally free, so sign up at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. Now, with his message called A Mega Warning, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If Satan ever had a mantra, if he ever had a mantra to chant, it would be this, and with the effect to ruin the church. His mantra would be, if you can't beat him, what's the word? Join him. Satan knows that the church cannot be defeated. Jesus said that. That's, by the way, the foundation of what our security is in as a church. Jesus said, and we'll read about it in a moment, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And mark it well in your notes. When Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail, that is his church universally in the earth. You and I can attest to the fact that churches have come and gone, haven't they? Churches have started, but they have failed. Don't think for a moment, oh, look, the Bible's broken because a church in some community started, but then it failed. No. His church, that is the true believers throughout the world, in the earth, Jesus said, from the moment that the church was born on the day of Pentecost, it would never fail. And you need to mark that down because that's all important in looking at part two of this teaching, a mega warning from Jesus. But Satan would certainly say, if you can't beat him, join him. Why? Because joining the church with a satanic agenda. You say, Jack, how can that be? Oh, well, it's possible. Let me tell you. We'll look at it in a moment. Was Satan's strategy from the beginning? Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:1, but there were also false prophets among the people. That's the believers. And there will even be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Keep that in mind. Church, are you awake this morning? I need to ask you because I got to tell you something right now. Jesus's warning to us today, and it has been for the last 2,000 years, is that the church will be under attack. It will be infiltrated from within. We expect attacks from the outside. But the warning, dangerous warning is, a church can be destroyed, a local church can be destroyed by those who creep in subtly, quietly, to bring in, as Peter said, destructive heresies. The sad news is this, in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Luke recorded there in the book of Acts, for I know this, Paul is speaking. He says, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among your own selves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, I did not cease to warn you day and night with tears. Isn't that powerful? You guys, I don't know if you want to hear that or not, but as a pastor, I got to tell you that. Because when you come into a church, you think, oh, we can relax now. All the bad news is outside. Listen, I want you to come in here and relax. I want you to come in here and chow down, as it were, eat the word of God, be fed. But myself and pastors and lay leaders in this church are to be watching constantly against those that would come in to try to draw away themselves, the Bible warned, deceiving people. And that happens not only through those that would meander their way into the body of Christ, but it happens through radio and TV and by publications and other things. That's the sad news. The good news is, as I mentioned earlier, in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, and remember, Peter had made that confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus came right back and said, "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now listen. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What is that rock? It is the declaration that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, right? The Son of the living God. Very important that you understand that. We cannot be sloppy in our theology. We cannot be sloppy regarding the gospel. We're living in the days when people would have us to be lazy about what we believe. And as we get further along, time gets more dangerous, time gets more challenging, time gets more, ruthless, as it were, in the things of the Spirit, but we need to be ready. So ever since the birth of the church, and the church was born on Pentecost, that day when the Holy Spirit descended, the church has never ceased to exist. Listen, everyone, because this goes against what those knocking on your door are telling you. Since the day of Pentecost, the church has never ceased to exist. It has not ceased to exist now, and it will not cease to exist until Christ returns. Did you know that? You got to believe that. You got to understand that. Based upon what? Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail." That is a slap in the face to all of the cults that will knock on your door or proclaim to you that the church started out good, but it failed and it ceased to exist. And now a second testament needs to be revealed. A second gospel needed to be given. A second attempt at doing church has to start again. That statement attacks the very words of Jesus. And by the way, keep this in mind. If you can have the church failing and then starting again by some certain group, saying that we are the latter-day revelation because the first one failed. If you've ever had a logic course, a course in arguments, a course in, well, those of you who are lawyers, you know how to present an argument. If something that failed once was replaced by something that claims to be the right and the true, logically, can it fail? Absolutely. If the first failed, then the second can fail. And if the second can fail, the third can fail. And if the third can fail, the fourth can fail. You see, it never stops. That's why Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Jesus warns in a very specific way. So picking it up where we left off last time, turn to your Bibles there. Luke 13, we'll read carefully through this. Here's what the scripture says. "And then he said," verse 18, "what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree." That's a warning. "And the birds of the air nested in its branches." That's another warning. "And again, he said to them, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven." That's a warning. "Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." That's a warning. "And he went through the villages," the cities, "teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." He's getting, by the way, very close to Jerusalem now. "Then he said to them," or then someone said to Jesus, "Lord, are there few who are saved? Are very few people going to make it to heaven?" And Jesus said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate." Notice the answer Jesus gives this man. "Be careful. Strive to enter into the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. And when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand on the outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you're from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. That's their answer. And you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and to sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there will be first who will be last. And contrary to the understanding of many people, this is not a teaching about healthy church growth. Jesus is warning that there's going to be a growth style that's going to happen as time progresses, where the kingdom of God, and by the way, you guys know this by our last teaching, but I want to remind you, in the Bible, in the New Testament, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are interchangeable terms. It deals with the birth of the church, the age of the believers, all the way through those believers entering the kingdom of heaven in the presence of Christ. So when Jesus issues this warning, he's talking about since the day of Pentecost, all the way through to the end and when eternity begins, you need to be watchful of this. But he's given us a grave warning about strange growth. And we covered that last time in our study together. In fact, by the way of introduction, and you'll see this on the screens, I trust, if this is all working right, by way of review, the first mega warning we looked at, that the mega warning was about appearances. And that's the first thing he warns us about regarding appearances, verses 18 to 21, that we need to be careful about what things look like. Number one was this: what something looks like can be good. Initially this, that growth can be good. You say, Jack, isn't growth always good? No, it's not, but it can be good. And in verses 18 and 19, he said that a man took, as it were, a mustard seed and planted it in his garden. That's a great thing. That's wonderful. But look at the great warning. Not only is that a good start, but right in the middle of that, we have what some things look like can be bad. You don't want to judge according to appearance. At the end of verse 19, we study this, that mustard seed became a large tree, and the birds of the air lodged in its branches. That's bad. Why? Because, my friend, mustard seeds do not grow into great trees. No matter how you want to stretch this teaching, they can grow big up to 9 feet. But promise you this, that when a bird lands in the branches of a mustard seed, big bush, not a tree, a bird lands in the branch, it just kind of sags down. It's not a tree. What is Jesus warning? Everybody understood it in his day, that what he's talking about is a very hyper, very strange, abnormal growth regarding the kingdom of God. So not all, according to appearance and the way of growth, is good. How is a church growing? Why is it growing? What is it teaching? What is that church doing? Is it the word of God that's going out? So the growth could be good, could be bad. We also saw this, that it could be pretty ugly. Growth could be ugly. Verse 20 says there, he said, what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman came, note this, and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole lump, until all the food was leavened. The Bible, 98 times in the Bible, leaven speaks or is spoken of as being evil, not a good thing. And leaven, if you insert this, I don't know this from experience, but I guess some of you bakers do. When you insert leaven, it causes the dough to swell up and to become polluted with leaven. And it unleavens, or it leavens, I should say, the entire lump. It takes the unleavened bread, pollutes it, and according to the Bible, infiltrates and grows to something that is not good. It can be ugly growth. It can be a liberal church. There is either a pure church that loves the word of God and is pursuing after God's heart, and then there's a church that is starting to become liberal, and then there's a church that is a false church. We need to be so very careful in what we consider is healthy or proper growth.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The mega warning is not only against appearance in these last days. Oh, look, that church is big. It must be good. No, it could be bad. Certainly could be ugly. What's going on inside? Well, number two, Jesus warns us about apathy. And the first thing about apathy, that is to not care regarding what's happened in the world around us, is being apathetic to the fight. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And then one said, Lord, are there few that are saved? And he said to them, strive. Strive to enter in through the narrow gate for many. The word in Greek is not a few people, by the way. Not a few people. I say to you, will seek to enter in and they're not going to be able to. And this is an amazing warning here. This is a great question that this stranger asks. Jesus, are few people saved? And that whole question is rooted and grounded, probably being asked by a Jewish person because they believed that the Jews, by relation to Abraham, were automatically saved. Listen. And then by being citizens of the nation of Israel, they were automatically saved. You say, well, that's ridiculous. America's plagued with the same stupid way of thinking. A person can be just drunk, partying on, you know, oh man, grab all the gusto you can. Share Jesus with them. And one of the things that they'll say is, hey, come on, back off, man. I was born in America. I'm an American. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Of course it's ridiculous. God's not an American. He's certainly not from California. I know we see pictures of Jesus, and it looks like he just got off his board in Newport Beach. Not so. Apathetic to the fight is when people throw things up and say, I'm going to go to heaven because of this or because of that. Watch out. Very dangerous. God is not a Democrat. God is not a Republican. God is not American. And you don't get to heaven by being those things. In fact, those things will distract you from getting to heaven. Jesus said, strive. Can you circle that in your Bible? Can you write it down? This is critical. And look around to the person to the left of you and person to the right of you. Make them write it down, will you? Because the person who's apathetic says, I don't want to write it down. Write it down. In fact, if they don't write it down, just write it on their forehead. Strive. Why? Because it is key. And every one of us as believers ought to be striving regarding our salvation and regarding our hope in Christ to ward off being apathetic in the fight that you and I are in. By the way, some 3 years earlier in this, at this moment of time, Jesus warned in Matthew 7, 13 to 14 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said earlier, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Listen, and many therein, many go in thereby. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus is saying the broad way is well populated. Jesus is saying that the broad way of going on your path in the populous and in a popular way is dangerous. Well, look at what the crowd is doing. Jesus says, watch out when the crowd is doing that. By the way, every one of us ought to be asking ourselves questions about reality and how it applies to our life. Why am I here? What's the meaning to my life? Now listen, do I have a purpose? What happens when I die? Is there life after death? Everything I just asked just now are not localized to church services and for Christians to ask. You can go to Borders or any bookstore around town and you can go to the philosophy section and open up books of non-believers. And they're asking these questions to find the purpose of life. This is not a Christian question. People all around the world are asking this question, what's the reason for me being alive? Is there life after death? We need to be asking those critical questions. Does it really matter what I believe? Oh, it matters, all right. The word strive here, listen, we are to be striving with ourselves about, do I know God? Jesus is warning them. Imagine him speaking it. If he arrived here today and said this to us, strive to enter in. Jesus, what does that mean? The word strive here is where we get the word agonize in English. It means to fight, labor, fervently, to agonize, to struggle, to search, to grapple with. Christian, every one of us, every morning of our Christian life, we grapple, we struggle with, we wake up to the challenge. Oh, Lord God, we may not use the term, maybe from this Sunday morning on we will, but Lord, I want to make sure I walk with you today. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Lord, I want to make sure that I'm faithful to you today. That's grappling with, that's striving with. And you and I, and I know I've asked this before and you've agreed with me, so agree with me again. How do I know that I'm in the fight? How do I know that I am striving? Because when I wake up in the morning, immediately I'm torn between two worlds. I'm torn between, number one, to get up and to watch the news. I'm a news freak. Watch the news. Go online, check about the weather, what's going to happen, how's the stocks, what's going on in the world, or to go to the Bible first. You know what I'm talking about? Do you not hear God in your life speak to you and say, Jack, to the Bible first? He's not against you checking out the weather on your computer. He's not against you watching TV, unless it comes first. And that doesn't sit well with him. Do you know that battle? Do you know that struggle? You're striving. And so you pick to go with what God has called you to do. You agonize at that. You fight at that. You wrestle with that. Jesus says, wrestle with these things. What is it? That you enter through the narrow gate. It's a challenge. The invitation, the exhortation is singular, by the way. Listen up. Those of you who have been caught up into a certain cult, and maybe you're visiting today, listen carefully. The word here is strive to enter into the narrow gate. The construction of the Greek language is you must and you only must struggle for yourself to enter into the narrow gate, meaning your wife is not going to pull you in because you're married. Your husband's not going to pull you in because you're married. Your kids are not going because they're your kids. Yeah, but my denomination taught me different. Jesus teaches different to that. Jesus says every one of us alone must come in through that narrow gate. Lisa cannot take me. I cannot take Lisa. My daughters cannot take me. I cannot take my daughters. This is sobering, is it not? It's a grave warning to us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with awe and trembling, reverently. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That word, to work out, means to finish the job, to see it accomplished, to stay with it. You say, Jack, didn't the Bible just contradict itself right there in a moment? Does not Jesus save me? Yes, he does. I'm not saved by works. You're not saved by works. Are you guys all with me now? Now that you are saved, give every bit of effort to apply yourself to spiritual growth and development. You cannot come to Christ and say, well, I'm born again. I accept Jesus. Never open your Bible. Never fellowship with God's people. You'll never grow. In fact, the Bible says that when we're born again, we should desire the sincere milk of the word. When a person is truly born again, they will hunger for the Bible. You will have to have Bible. You will want it. Is there a struggle in getting to the Bible? Yes. Is there a difficulty in that discipleship process? Yes. Are you tempted to not read the Bible? Yes. But you must. You know what I mean? You've got to. That is a warning, because the word to work out your own salvation means now that you've been saved, see to it, my friend, that it's the whole process is completed all the way through the end. Stay with Christ. The Bible says to abide in Christ. Be with him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called A Mega Warning Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. A Mega Warning Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Have you heard about the Real Life Network? It's a 100% free streaming video platform created by Pastor Jack Hibbs. The Real Life Network is a cancel-proof video on-demand service, much like Netflix. But every piece of content on the Real Life Network is from a biblical worldview. You'll be challenged, encouraged, and strengthened by the best pastors and teachers, conservative thought leaders and newscasters, as well as great Christian entertainment like movies and series, all free. And it's all at reallifenetwork.com. And you can access the Real Life Network on any device, like your phone, connected TVs, computers. It's on Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Chromecast, Google Play, and more. Whatever your favorite device, Real Life Network will be on it. Be the first to enjoy the Real Life Network by signing up today at reallifenetwork.com. Experience some of your favorite pastors and teachers like you never have before. Remember the website, reallifenetwork.com. One more time, reallifenetwork.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.